Okay, so tell me some contradictions that you think exist between science and Torah. Okay, let's start with what our assumptions or notions are. Everything.
How the world was created.
Okay.
Evolution.
Anyone else? You guys chose this session. What other? Yes.
The many years that science says that the world existed from the dinosaurs versus.
Okay, good. So that's really two questions. You know, dinosaurs are really their own question. You know, where are the dinosaurs? And the age of the universe, certainly, right? According to science, approximately how old is the universe? Approximately.
About 400 billion years ago.
Okay, so about the average is usually considered about 15 billion years ago. Okay? And according to Torah, right, we're in the year... We should know this, girls, right? 5779. Okay. So we're missing only a few billion years in our counting.
2125 is going to be snack.
Super. Okay. So we have a number of apparent things that appear to be contradictions. Okay. So before we just start, I'm going to preface none of us, me included, are physicists, cosmetologists, biologists. On the one hand, we're also none of us, as of yet, are quite Torah scholars or Kabbalists on the level of understanding some of the ideas that are hidden in the story of both creationism, which is really where a lot of our discussion is going to start. But what I'd like to do today is at least present us with the knowledge that there are answers. Okay, we're certainly not going to address all of them. It would take not only a year's course, but several for us to understand the depth. But to know that there are answers out there, and for us to know that we have, you know, to quote the book, right, we have permission to believe, meaning that the answers are out there. We don't have to come up with apologetics to be able to reconcile the Torah with modern scientific understanding. On the other hand, we have to really trust that there is a depth both to science's understanding and to the levels of understanding of Torah that neither are going to suffice with the surface reading. And then if we really want to be able to understand them, we have to recognize our own limitations in terms of understanding what those meanings are. So let's start out with the first one. Okay, let's start with creation. Okay? What is the modern scientific understanding of the creation of the world? Okay, so the Big Bang Theory was started mid-1700s, but it really only got popularly accepted by science in the 1960s. Okay, what was before the Big Bang Theory? What was the belief of how the world was started?
Was it always there?
So it was always there, okay, and that really was started by, that idea was really started by Aristotle, but it wasn't really challenged, okay, that the world was always there, alone Kadmon, right, the world was always there and always will be, okay? So the Big Bang Theory was actually much more revolutionary, and part of the reason why it was shot down and not accepted for over 200 years was because the Big Bang hints to a beginning, okay? And a beginning would contradict scientific understanding, because if there's a beginning, it leads to the idea, or can lead to the idea, of there being somebody who began it, okay? So let's look at the Big Bang Theory for a moment. Okay, so we're gonna listen to this. It's rather complicated scientifically, but we'll break it down afterwards. Okay, so this is by the way, Dr. Gerald Schroeder wrote many books on the subject. He is a physicist professor at MIT, and he is also an Orthodox Jew. So let's take a look at.
My name is Gerald Schroeder. I have a strong science background from MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, bachelor's, master's, PhD, 7 years in the physics staff, seen a whole range of atomic bombs detonated, moved to Israel, met my wife, Barbara Sofer, a great writer, and then teach Torah and science. So luckily, I'm lucky that I have the two that come together. And one of the questions that I'm asked as a scientist is, how can a scientist really believe that there's something what we refer to usually as God. You know, it's this metaphysical whatever acting in the world or producing the world. The irony is, the question's really a non-starter. Science has, in fact, discovered God. And you can talk to the hardline atheists, and they will say, it looks like science has indeed discovered God. And how would that be? Well, if you take the trouble of going to the web, and they have typed in WMAP, the initials for a satellite, it's a diagram that shows the development of the universe from the creation over time. It's a timeline. Every word on that diagram comes from the NASA site. It is the condensed knowledge of the scientific community of how the universe created and how it got to where we are today. Each of the lines, the vertical lines, is another billion years. Okay, you start from a burst of energy at the extreme left side of the diagram, and you end up at the far end with the oval. The oval is to indicate expansion in all directions. Of course, because it's a timeline, we can't show that on a single piece of paper. We see here, most amazingly, that on the extreme left edge, it shows the beginning to the universe. Now go back less than 50 years. If I were teaching that at Tech, I might be a person who lose tenure, saying that there's a creation of the universe. It sounds like it's Bible. Because less than 50 years ago, the overwhelming scientific opinion was the universe is eternal. There was never a beginning. The Bible is wrong from the very first sentence. And then we discovered, suddenly, Arnold Penzias and Robert Wilson, the Bell Labs in New Jersey, the northeast of the U.S., discovered the echo of the Big Bang, the energy left over, which George Gamow, 60 years ago, predicted that if there had been a universe created hot and small, it would have exploded, and the energy would get more and more dilute. And Penzias and Wilson, these Arnold Penzias and Robert Wilson, discover this energy that had been predicted overnight. The Bible.
So just pause for a moment to explain what that means. What it means that science discovered discovered God is, like they said, that the first original scientific belief is that the world is eternal. It never started, never will end. The idea that there would have been a Big Bang started off as a theory and really was more of a hypothesis. Could it be that there was an explosion of energy? That explosion of energy could lead to the development of the world and started off as a theory. But the theory was left to be proven because if it's true that that burst of energy could explode, that means that energy could expand. And what it means in theory is that energy should still be expanding. And the reason it was left as a theory for many, many years but not accepted by the scientific community is because we have no experience of our world expanding. Okay, we don't see things expand. I come here today, I come here tomorrow. Things look the same, light looks the same, energy looks the same, matter looks the same. And then what they discovered in the Hubble telescope, this is in the 1960s, is they discovered that in the upper atmosphere, there is what we call energy expansion. Okay, I'm not going to get into the definition of what that means, but the point is that if energy is continuously expanding even now, then we can work backwards, and we can assume that if we kept on contracting, right, eventually we would have gotten to that original Big Bang. And we can work through that in terms of numbers of years also, and we'll get to that in terms of age of the universe in a few moments. But if that idea that we can discover that there is an expansion leads to the idea that if we work backwards, we could have a contraction, leading back to originally that Big Bang or that beginning. Okay?
We got it right. There was a beginning to the universe. Now, the black in the diagram is nothing. It's not a vacuum. Vacuums are within that diagram, within that cone of expansion. Vacuums are empty space, and space is something. The black of the paper around the diagram is nothing. It doesn't fit in our human brain, because humans think in a box made of time, space, and matter / energy. No human, as clever as they might be, as expansive as they might be, thinks out of that box. So when we say...
So again, just to pause for a second, this gets into the concept of Yesh Mayayim. Okay, when we say that God created something from nothing, we really have no concept of what nothing is. Okay, because everything that we can conceive of, if you can picture something, okay, it either has matter, it has time, it has energy, it has some existence. Otherwise, how could you be picturing it? How could you visualize it? Okay, and the modern day, again, scientific understanding is that yes, there was nothing surrounding this before this Big Bang, and that nothing, which we can't conceive of, is what that Yesh was developed into.
Outside that diagram is nothing. We can use the words, but we can't conceive of nothing. It doesn't fit in the human brain. How are we going to have this idea of is there a God or not? Notice that the creation force isn't the three-letter word, G-O-D. If you look at the words carefully, it's a quantum fluctuations. That understanding was first worked out by Ed Tryon, brilliant human being, in the journal Nature almost 40 years ago. The universe allows creation of something from nothing, provided you have the laws of nature, the quantum fluctuation. Tryon realized, and he published in the journal Nature, one of the two leading peer-reviewed journals in the world, that you can create something from absolute nothing, provided you've got the laws of nature, quantum physics, and the laws of relativity. In other words, the laws of nature. So look what science has discovered. We can create the universe from absolute nothing, provided we have the forces of nature. Now the laws of nature, the forces of nature aren't physical, they act on the physical. So if they create the universe, that means they predate the universe. So now we have a set of forces, we call them the laws of nature, that are not physical, that are able to act on the physical, they create the physical from absolute nothing. And they predate the universe, which means they predate our understanding of time.
Charles, what is that referring to? Something that's not physical but could act on the physical, could create the physical from nothing and predates any existence, predates any universe. Okay. So this is, let's just finish it off for a moment.
Put that together, it sounds very familiar. If you haven't noticed it, that's the biblical definition of God. There's only one nuance that's left hanging. We can talk about it another time, perhaps. It's that which created the universe, those forces active in the universe. But up to that point, science says, you are correct. The definition of the biblical God is predates time, outside of time. God is not a physical being, is a force, and it creates the universe. You'll notice that the opening chapter of Genesis, the only name for God is Elohim, God as manifest in the universe. Science has indeed discovered the biblical God. Well, we just need one part left, crucial. That which created the universe is also active in the universe itself. The very fact that you're watching this now pretty much establishes that point.
Okay, so we're not going to get into we're not going to get into the details of Hashem's involvement in the world right now. But it is significant to understand from a Torah perspective. Okay, where the Mefarshim come to understand this idea of the Big Bang. Okay, and for that we really have a very famous Ramban, okay, who points out that the word bara is used really only in most of the story of Bereshit. The bara is not used only in the first pasuk. And what he explains is bara means yesh me'ayin, but after that yesh me'ayin, which we could refer to very easily, and the Ramban even refers to, and the Ramban, of course, we have to understand, the Ramban's writing in the 1200s, okay? We are at least 500 years before the development of the Big Bang Theory, and about 700 years before the acceptance of the Big Bang Theory, okay? That after we have this yesod, after we have this foundation, then we can go and develop it, okay? Which is, in fact, what scientists have eventually discovered, okay? As Schroeder points out, right, the word Elohim refers to God as the God of nature, which is what we find in the first parak. When God created the world, he indeed was using those natural forces to do so. Okay. So now let's just discuss for a few moments, and obviously it's related to creation, is how old the universe is. Okay, so we just said that according to our religious understanding, the universe is 5,779 years old. When did that start from? When did we start counting? So what are the choices?
Creation of man.
Define. Okay, so those are two different things. Okay, creation of man means I'm starting counting from?
Day
six. Okay. The other choice is to start from?
Day one.
Okay, or even moment one, right? Even moment one. Now, Chazal are really unambiguous in this, okay? The beginning of time, according to when we start counting from, is day six, the creation of man. Okay, many, many sources in Chazal and Gemara, Rashi and Chumash point out that when we start counting 5,779 years, It has to be starting from the creation of man. That was the purpose of creation. Those are what we'll call earth years for a few moments. Now, earth years has to correspond to earth years according to the Torah has to correspond to our scientific years, meaning 5,779 years ago, no matter how you count it according to earth years, refers to when Adam was created. And that's been proven many times, whether we talk about the what's called in scientific the Bronze Age. Okay, the Bronze Age refers to when they started using metal instruments. Okay, we have Tuval Kayan, and the years of Tuval Kayan when he developed, right, that he started using bronze instruments to work the soil, corresponds exactly to the years. We have archaeological proofs of Jericho, of, you know, there's many, and those match up to the years in the Torah that match up to scientific years. So the real question is, what happened in the 6 years, in the 6 days prior to that? Okay, so what are some understandings that you guys have heard? Okay, where does the 15 billion, how does that correlate to the Taurus? Okay, Leora?
That, like, the first 5 days were, like, not days, how we see it, but, like, could have been longer.
Okay, how would we explain, like, how would we know how long that is? Huh. Okay, so that definitely, let's hold that thought. Adina?
The marble messed up the ground.
Okay, so the marble messed up the ground is a common, I would say, misconception. Okay, the reason why the marble couldn't have really messed up has to do with some of those other sources that we talked about in terms of, let's say, Tuval Kayan was before the marble. It doesn't really make make so much sense, also because there's many independent sources that corroborate each other. Okay, and so the marble messing things up is a common misunderstanding, but it's not scientifically accurate. Say that, Mira?
Just by error, by book here, but you don't necessarily know how much time passed
between. Okay, good. So that helps us with Leora's understanding as well. So let's think about what that means for a moment. Why might we have some trouble understanding how long the first 6 days are? So one thing Mira says is Vayera Vayivoker, which is interesting. That sort of counting of time, accounting of time, right? That there was a day, an evening, and then there was morning, and that was the first day. That only happens in the first 6 days. But after that, I don't need to count, and then another year passed, and another year passed. Meaning the Torah tells me what happens. Adam had a kid at this age, Adam died at this age, right? So we have a listing of genealogies, but I don't have that same, you know, and then the year passed, and it was 2019, right? We don't have that sort of accounting that we have in the first days, which already gives us an inkling that I wouldn't have known it was a day unless you told me. Okay? What else? Rabia?
We think that a day is like 24 hours, but it might not have been before that. Like,
why? Why?
There wasn't a concept of time before man came around.
Why?
Because are we the ones who are full hour days? It's dependent on the sun setting on our land, and then they didn't really have any of that.
Okay, well, okay, so let's go through this. They definitely had no land for how many days?
Two.
2 days, right? Land's not created till day number three. They had no sun until
day one. The
sun was really created, right? The aurora created on day four. So we have light on day one, but we don't have the sun in terms of our solar sort of, you know, sort of sunrise, sunset, rotation, etc. So if we don't have Earth and we don't have a sun, then what does time mean? Okay? However, Chazal to point out and that those days, when it says Ve'er Revoker, are coming to teach us that they were 24-hour days. So we're left with this little, rather large discrepancy, because if Chazal is telling us that they're 24-hour days, and yet we have these 15 billion years that we have to account for, we need a lot of work to do. So the good thing is that it doesn't really, we don't have to sort of come with this sort of general understanding that, oh, well, maybe the first 6 days were a long amount of time. Okay, because first of all, that's going to contradict with Chazal say that's 24 hours, which is why we have that Ve'er Revoker who needs to tell us. But also because that's almost, it sounds a little apologetic. Like, oh, well, if we start counting, then we don't know how long those are, so it must be 15 billion. Okay, so luckily we have a much more nuanced understanding both of time and in terms of what actually happened in those first 6 days. So the first thing that we should take a look on, if we like take a look at scientific understanding in terms of a timeline of what happened during creationism. So we have this, I don't know if it's easy for you to see it. We have this time after the Big Bang. And what's interesting is that the time and the order in which things were created match up really exactly to our order of creation. And this is corroborated also by fossil studies. Okay, if we look at fossil studies. Now, how do you guys understand the existence of fossils? Okay, how do we understand if fossils were in the earth and they tell us that something lived, you know, 13 billion years ago, and then another fossil, you know, lived and was extinct 10 billion years ago? Any understanding of those fossils? Lisa?
Carbon
dating. Okay, so carbon dating. So how will we understand that from a... Okay, so carbon dating is how scientists come and understand it. There's more than one independent source either. So even if carbon dating has its own issue, there's more than one way to reconcile and to understand the juxtaposition of the age of the universe. But where'd those fossils come from if we say it's 5,779 years? So again, some people come and say, well, God could have created the earth with fossils. It's definitely possible. Okay, I'm not saying like God could have created, right? God could have created man fully formed. He could create a tree fully formed. He could create an earth that has fossils in it. I have no problem with that. But if we really want to get a nuanced understanding of the science, then that means that right after the universe was shaped, we have this area where we have first matters created. Okay, first we have radiation, which we understand as radiation is light. Okay, so that would match up to... Okay, day one. Okay, we then have the beginning of matter. Okay, matter, stuff, corresponds really to the earliest forms of matter. Earliest form of matter that was created was mostly hydrogen and oxygen making up water, okay, which we have created on day two. Okay, and then eventually, right, that matter gets transformed into the earth, okay, once we combine them into different compounds. And which, of course, we have on day three. After that, we have stars and galaxies and the sun, which we're going to have on day four. After that, we have earliest life forms, right? Which is right, earliest life forms, and then the primitive animals, day five. And finally, we have animals. I'm sorry. Finally, we have mammals, and then Homo sapiens, which, of course, are going to be day six. So not only do the order correspond to the days, but they match up very, very well to the fossils. So, and this gets into a little evolution. I'm not going to talk about evolution in detail. We just don't have time to get into it. But when we look at the evolutionary record, they're really, and many, many evolutionary scientists have accepted this for years already, that there are jumps in the fossil record. Okay, we don't, even if we can experience microevolution in a lab that black moths can evolve after generations into white moths, we never have a moth that evolves into a frog. We have no evidence of that, not in the fossil record, not in scientific labs. When Darwin published his thesis, around what years, Charles Darwin?
1700.
Okay, late 1700s. Okay, he expected that with further archaeological studies, further paleontology, that they would find the existence of those missing species. 150 years later, we never found them. Okay, and eventually his theory was really quite debunked. But in terms of the fossil record, we have a big break between when matter was created and then life comes, okay, which is really the whole day three, okay, in terms of from an evolutionary perspective as well. So where do these numbers come from, right? We're talking about 300 million, 5 billion, right? These numbers don't relate to anything that we're familiar with. And... okay, yeah, these are in the Pesukim. We already know that, what order things were created. So we get into, and this is what we're going to use to sort of understand it, and we're going to give the most basic understanding of relativity, which is that we're used to the concept even of, let's say, sound. Okay, so sound, we have the Doppler effect. What does that mean? You hear a police car coming towards you, then you hear it when it's, let's say, next to you, and then you hear it going away from you. Okay, the sound, the pitch, does not sound the same during each of those, okay? And that has to do with the sound waves, okay? As the police car is coming towards you, the sound waves get compressed, okay? Which means that as it's coming towards you at a certain speed relative to where you're standing, okay? The sound waves get shorter, okay? When you're right next to it, they have one length, and then as it moves away from you, the sound waves get stretched. If I asked you, which is the true sound?
The one
which is the true sound of the car. There's not an answer. They're all true. They're all true relative to where you're standing. Okay, and we're used to sound being compressed. We're used to sound being relative. Okay, gravity. Okay, so I go on a scale, right, here on Earth. Go to the moon, I go on the same scale. Okay, we know that my weight's going to change because the gravitational force pulling me down to Earth is different than the gravitational force pulling me down to the moon. So we're familiar a little bit with this concept of relativity. Okay, what Einstein did when he came up with the concept of relativity is he applied relativity to time. Okay, and he said, we think of time as being this great equalizer, this great constant. Turns out it's not really true. If you have areas that have very, very different velocities, that are traveling at different velocities, or that have very, very different gravitational forces, time is going to slow down. Okay, now, again, let's do this. If I stand on a scale here and I stand on the scale on the moon, they're going to say two different numbers. Which is my true weight? They're both my true weight. It's just relative. If I have one thing, if I'm counting by ticks of a clock, okay, on Earth years, okay, and it says 24 hours passed, and I compare that to another time where let's say the gravitational force is a million times more, okay, and so the time is moving that much slower, so that in 24 hours corresponds to a few billion years. Which one is true? They're both true. They're both true, okay? And again, we're not going to get into the nitty-gritty of the scientific understandings, but it's not just that each day corresponds to a lot of time, okay? The days actually correspond to very, very specific amounts of time, and that time is going to be true in years, let's say, referring to universe years. Okay, if we start counting from the beginning of the universe and we count in universe years, which we have to before, right? Because at the beginning of the universe, we had no earth, we have no sun. So when the Torah comes to tell me, Vayer Vayvoker, right? And Chazal come and say, that counted, that was 24 hours. That was 24 hours as we know it. If I was looking at my clock and come back here 24 hours. But and the reason why the Torah has to tell me I'm going to start counting another day right now is because the 24-hour cycle now switched. Otherwise, I would have no way, right? It's not that the sun set and then it was Erev. It was dusk. Right? It didn't look like it was dusk. That time frame of 24 hours in our Earth years corresponds to a very, very different number of universe years, if I want to start counting from that. And when we talk about that timeline, okay, we even have, even on day six, okay, that things were created in a specific order. Man, we know, was created at the end of day six, okay? The Torah doesn't come to tell us, you know, that it was created at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, right? That then we turn to man. Okay, but we do have the records and the scientific understanding to correlate those numbers with our numbers. And it's not just some sort of it must be this numbers. Once man was created, then we start counting in human years. Then we have a sun, we have an earth, we have humans to mark time, and then the years correlate exactly. But the previous 6 years, which were never meant to be included in the 5779, were also not meant to be like, well, there's some indiscriminate amount of time, and I don't know what. Vayera Invoker comes to measure 24-hour time slots in our time, which is why the Torah comes to tell us that. Otherwise, why didn't the Torah just say, you know, here's everything I'm going to create, okay, and now start counting, man is created, right? Why does the Torah bother to give us 6 days of creation? So to help us understand, right, these 24-hour time slots, which really match up quite exactly to this, if you take the 15 billion, okay, and you correlate it both with the theory of relativity, understanding what the gravitational forces must have been in the area after a bing bang, etc. So that's, you know, and again, this is really just a taste, okay? We could keep going for, and anyone who's really interested, I recommend, you know, reading. There's many books on the subject. There's many real experts on it. I'm not really an expert. I would encourage anyone who's interested in this. There are answers out there. Some of them you may not be ready yet to understand just because your level of, you know, physics or really astrophysics, cosmetology, we're not sophisticated enough to get there yet. But these questions, you know, have been addressed. Science is catching up to our biblical understanding, but it does require both a nuanced reading of scientific literature and a nuanced reading of the Torah to be able to understand the connection between the two. So with that, yeah, Elise, you had a question?
Yeah, it's like not really clear. Like, it's trying to sound clear, but with the time moving slower, does like what's going on move slower?
So that's a, good question. So let's say you you went to, I don't know, someplace where the time was moving slower, so that you experience, I don't know, 3 minutes on some planet out there, okay, what took just 2 years to do on Earth. Okay, so on Earth, I would do those 2 years. I'd wake up, I'd go to sleep, my kids would graduate the next year, you know, we'd enjoy summer, whatever it is, and you would only have 3 minutes, okay? So during those 3 minutes, I don't know, maybe you'd make yourself a coffee, okay?
Like, it would move at the same speed. Like, so, you would, like, I'm confused on, like, slow motion. Like,
so, it, no, it's not slow motion because they're two independent ways of looking at time. So in your 3 minutes, you would do whatever you'd be able to do in 3 minutes. But in that time, and this is where the relativity piece comes in that time that it took you to do 3 minutes worth of activities on some planet X, okay, I would be doing 2 years of activity. So when you would come back, right, your friends would already be, you know, in college, and you'd still be,
right,
you'd still be 18.
Would she feel like it was 3 minutes, or would she?
She would experience 3 minutes on that planet. She would feel like it was 3 minutes, but when she came back, she'd still be 18, and you guys would be.
So let's say this is confusing, okay, but let's say humans did exist like day three. The things being created on day three would experience billions of like millions of years, but the human, if they were let's say there, would experience.
So it's...
That doesn't make any sense.
Do the 3 minutes feel the same? The same length?
So let's say, even like how often your heart beats, right? So your heart beats, I don't know, however many times a minute, okay? So when you were on planet X and you experienced 3 minutes, your heart would experience, I don't know, what a heart beats? I don't know, 60 beats a minute, whatever. So hopefully more. So you'd your heart would beat that number of beats, okay? So that's how much you would age. You wouldn't age anymore because... You only go through 3 minutes. At the same time, though, Adina would have gone through 2 years. Okay? So again, so we're counting relative to, which again gets into, it's hard for us to grasp. We're not used to things being relative. We're used to things being absolute, certainly things like time. Okay? But once we start to understand that these concepts not only exist, but they've been proven along the way, it can help us sort of come to a reconciliation understanding of these. Ladies, have a wonderful day. Okay, I think there's a snack back in the room somewhere there.
Thank you so much.
Okay.